Deplorable Nation, the podcast of the people, by the people, for the people. For your rights, we fight. You decide. Facts. Is it really conspiracy? It's all up to you, patriots. Never give up. Hello, all you beautiful, sexy, adorable patriots out there, and welcome to episode 3 of Deplorable Nation. I am your fabulous host, Deplorable Janet. I have been scarred, charred, but never thrown out of a bar. So welcome, and hello to you, Matt. How the hell are you today?
Oh, not too bad. I feel pretty good, man. No complaints. Well, no, actually, that's not true. I got a lot of complaints. That's why we're doing this, right? So I'm sorry.
I lied
right off the bat, man.
So just so everybody knows, today, I know there's a lot going on in the news, and there's a lot of stuff with Wayfair and all these other things going on. However, I think sometimes people need a break. So today, we're going to bring you kind of a different show. And our opinions on the medical field and medications, mask wearing, and some other interesting things and some funny stories.
Yeah, but you said mask wearing there. Are you talking about Halloween or what?
I wear a scary mask every time we have sex. No, I'm kidding. I don't really.
Yeah, but no, I'm not. Never.
That's a whole nother podcast, man, there, ladies and gentlemen.
I stopped myself. I'm not going to go off on that one yet. We'll wait.
Don't go off. It's not time for you to go off yet.
That's right.
That's what she said.
Oh, God.
Oh, I used your line.
Damn it, Janet.
So, but do you still love me? You do. I know you do.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's funny because I don't think people listening realize, like, we talk pretty often. You know what I mean? It's like.
Yeah, we do.
You know, and it's like, hey, if I'm not sick of you and you're not sick of me, then it must be pretty good. You know?
I know, right? It's a good thing. And for people that may be new today, we have literally been friends for multiple decades.
I bet it's been over 30 years. Yeah.
It has been way over 30 years. So, jeez. You know, to still be friends with somebody after 30 years and not want to kill them, that's a good thing.
It is pretty. No, it is. I mean, my God, they're out here like the friends I could count on one hand. And that's just because I've made little faces on my fingers so I don't feel alone.
Is that your friend, Rosie Palm?
It's 5 friends. 5. Come on.
You have 5 friends. Oh, my God.
Yeah, take that.
You know, if it was big enough, you would have 10.
That's true. Well, it's like
that wasn't nice.
It's like they said, I thought I had a pubic hair until I peed out of it. Okay. But God, I feel like I'm Stevie Wonder behind the wheel of a car. You know, I'm all over the road. You know. Wait, this has nothing to do with medical care.
Well, it is kind of a medical issue, but yeah, we're not going to discuss erectile dysfunction or anything like that today.
Or Ray Charles, as much as I love Ray.
So we're gonna give you 2 sides of the flip coin today on the medical industry. Matt has a very positive take, and mine is very negative. And we're going to tell you the reasons why. So I'm going to let Matt start and tell you some history and why he feels the way that he does.
You're not talking about history as in 1492, right?
No,
that's right.
1492. Not yet, anyway.
Or 1776, but we'll get there. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, yeah. Yeah, no, Janet knows my story. I've actually was on another podcast, some guy from Canada about a year ago. I did this. Anyway, in, let's see, October of 2015, I'd went to the dentist, my local dentist. Long story short, I was getting like the deep cleaning when they get all the plaque out of your teeth and all that, right? Well, they didn't give me antibiotics. The best that me and my doctors could figure out what led to me getting open heart surgery and having an aneurysm in my right arm, which is really, really rare for a guy to have. It's like a one in a million.
That is rare.
Yeah, usually they say women get it, and they get it in their reproductive area, like the fallopian tubes and things like that. So long story short, I was on this.
So wait, are you a pussy?
You know what? I might be. My arm my arm might be. Actually, you know, we were talking about that earlier, how it would have vaginal something or another maybe. But, you know, that's really getting off. But we'll get back to it. So anyways, as DJ is your new name, DJ's over here laughing at me like she always does. So, yeah, I went in and got this dental work done within – about, I don't know, like 2 days. Okay, so if everyone knows what a ganglion cyst is, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so sometimes you can get those on your elbow or near the elbow. So when I got this aneurysm, and it basically looked like a golf ball sticking out under my arm. So I thought, well, wait a minute. You know, look on Google. I'm like, this could be a ganglion cyst. And what do they say? Whack it with a Bible. Well, a good thing I didn't whack it with a Bible. Right, because it's, you know, a vein and an artery that are twisted, that balloon up, and if I would have popped that, I would have bled to death, right?
Right.
So I was going to these clinics out here. I had Medi-Cal, just to state off the top here. I had Medi-Cal, which is like the California state insurance. I'd lost my job about 2 years prior to in 2015. My girlfriend, no kidding, in 2015, about 6 months before I got really sick, she goes, I'm going to sign you up for Medi-Cal just in case something happens and you get sick. So, you know, thanks to her, amen, I'm here to tell the story, right?
God bless her.
Yeah, really. And it's just like, you know, politically we might not get along, but, you know, in a lot of other things we do. And it was very cool that she did this. So I ended up having to use this, right? So 2 months of testing goes by. October turns to November, turns to December. I have an appointment to get this big bump looked at in my arm, and I was really concerned about it. I mean, I felt like, you know, Popeye. I'm like, you know, I've got a big, you know, forearm thing going on here. And
it was pretty big. Yeah. I can attest to that.
Yeah, yeah. So I went in for an appointment at USC Hospital, which USC is a teaching hospital, thank goodness. And there's another,
right,
and there's another division of USC Hospital out here called Keck, K-E-C-K, Keck Medical. Well, I had to have two different surgery like teams working on me. So to do my arm, they finally admitted me to the hospital with what was called tachycardia. I had a 140 BPM heart rate all the time. And I didn't even feel it. And they were looking at me and they're like, you know, you really should be passing out or something. And I'm like, I don't feel anything. And thank God, whoever this guy was at the time, he said, we need to admit you right now. He said, I think there's something very wrong with you. And like the whole time that I'm going through this, keep in mind, I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'4". I weigh about 220. I went from 220 pounds to 165 pounds without even trying. I mean, just...
Yeah, you looked pretty sickly.
I was dying. And I mean, I don't know any other way to say it. I was dying from a bacterial infection. So long story short, they admitted me to the hospital. I went to USC Hospital here in LA. It's right by downtown. It's on the east side. I was in there 23 days in the ICU. January 6th, I had the Keck medical team, which, by the way, I was the first person that they've ever had a surgery on your arm that had an aneurysm in it for a man. So I think it was kind of a weird big deal to them. They were so excited when I woke up from the surgery. It lasted about 2.5 hours. And then they said, all right, so we're going to do this open heart surgery. Basically, the bacterial infection I got destroyed my mitral valve to the point where it wasn't even flapping, like, you know, opening and closing normally like a regular valve would.
And that's not good, because for those of you that don't know, you do have four heart valves, and the mitral valve is extremely important to move the blood from the upper chambers of the heart, right, to the lower chambers of the heart.
Right.
So it can circulate the blood and take the oxygen rich blood back to your body system. So,
right. There's your technical. Cause yeah, like, I mean, I've learned a lot about this, obviously having this now. And if,
right.
And I went through this at age 44. I was so lucky. I had two of like the best surgeons. I know I've told you about this before, but
right.
I had a guy named John Cleveland. And the way that the surgeons work out here is, I found out, since it was a teaching hospital, they'll basically move around. So they'll stay at one place 2 or 3 months, then they'll move on to somewhere else, right?
Right.
So I was lucky to have this John Cleveland, tall, you know, good-looking guy. And it was just like, all these nurses are like, you're so lucky to have him. And I go, why? And they go, he's literally the best open-heart surgeon that you're ever going to get. So like I told you, they had him, they had Michael Bowdish. They flew this guy out from Philly. So Michael, I think, was the main guy because he's done this longer. But this John Cleveland guy was my, like, he was the local star. And this other guy was kind of overseeing him. And they knew each other, and it was this whole thing. But it was just strange. And something else I wanted to mention, like, the religious aspect of me being in the hospital. So, like, I had two different people taking care of me that were my own. I had my own room, which was really great because I was so sick. They obviously couldn't share a room with me with somebody else. Right. So my first personal nurse, and this was so funny, who was sponge bathing me, amen, was this beautiful like lady from Thailand named Angel. And I thought, wow, the religious.
Nice.
Yeah, the religious.
Looking out for you.
And I thought, wow, this is cool. So go through it. She's the one for a while. They end up changing. I get this other lady after my surgery. I'm going to be your personal nurse. What's your name? My name is Faith. And I'm like, nice. I'm like, wait a minute. Of all the people that I get, of all the surgeons I get, and like, here's me, Mr. ex Hollywood rock and roller. And like, dude, when I was in my 20s, I was, you know, I was a hellion like everybody, right? And I was just like, man, like, I think I've got a lot of good people on my side, like, you know, in more ways than one.
Exactly.
And there's really no other way to look at it for me.
And if you don't pay attention to things like that, I mean, those are actual signs from the universe.
Yeah, I mean,
that you need to change whatever the hell your life has been.
Right. And I remember I had one lady, another one who was this Chinese lady. She was so nice. And she was telling me about her story of coming to America. And she's obviously been very successful in the medical field and was happy with her job. She looked at me and she goes, "You've been given a second chance. Don't blow it." And I'm not kidding you. I had a chill go like up my spine. And I was like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Like, you know, I'm taking this very seriously here. But yeah,
So how did it change your life, Matt?
Well, I'd said this before in another podcast thing I was on. Basically, just I think I really appreciate – it might even sound stupid, but like I wake up and I go, okay, well, I'm still here, so there's a victory. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I take the little victory.
Like every day is phenomenal that you're still here.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's like I came so close. When I got in the hospital, they have those beds. When you sit on them, they weigh you, right?
Right.
The lady looked at me, and I mean, like I said, I'm tall. I'm 6'4". She was like 164 pounds. And I looked at her, and I go, what? I'm not kidding you. And I know most of us white guys have no ass anyway. But like, dude, I was I was so devoid of an ass. And when you sit down on your pelvic bone or whatever, I mean, dude, that hurts.
Right. It hurts. Yeah.
So I was literally walking around before I went to the hospital with a cane and a little chair that I would carry with me like an old person. And I would have people, I dropped my kid off at the school and everybody was watching my health decline. And after I started talking to people once I got better, because my recovery probably took about a year, they were like, dude, they're like, we thought you had cancer. We thought you were like dead. And then I was gone most of her third grade year, my daughter's third grade year, because it did. It took me about a year to recover. I had a home nurse for 3 months. I had a PICC line in my left arm, which you know what a PICC line is.
That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
And so I had, you know, injections for 3 months. I had someone caring for me every week. And then, so here's where the story really gets worse. I'm recovering. 2 weeks out of the gate, I get out of the hospital on January 21st of 2016. And 2 weeks probably to the day, February 6th, I get a message on a friend of mine from Facebook Messenger. And he goes, it was a friend of my dad's sons. It was this lady who was living with my dad. They were just like kind of companions, not really dating per se.
Right.
But this lady had died a month earlier and my dad was very distraught over it. Well, they found my dad dead in his house, face down. Beer cans, vodka. He drank himself to death as far as I was concerned.
That's awful, man.
But so, yeah, like I'm recovering from open heart surgery and I'm like, you're kidding me. You know, like I couldn't even go to his funeral because I was so weak. I was so sick.
And that's really sad. But, you know, I just want to say all praise be to God that you are still here and able to spend like every day with your beautiful daughter.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And just to still be here is such a gift because you really are such a gift to the world. Like, I wish all the listeners could actually know you personally like I do, because you're really a fantastic person. And I'm so blessed you're still here. Like I really am.
Well, they could basically turn on Bullwinkle and Rocky. I'm kind of like Bullwinkle the Moose. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm a perturbed moose.
I love you.
Not to quote Spinal Tap, but if you really want to know what I feel like a preserved moose.
Well, at least you're not a stuffed moose.
That's true.
So that's a good thing.
Taxidermy is a good
thing. So what kind of medications do you have to take all the time now?
Okay, so when you get open heart surgery, you have basically two choices. You can get a mechanical valve and be a robot, which I always thought would be fun. Or you can get one from a pig or a cow, an organic one. But here's the catch. So if you get an organic one, you're going to have to get that replaced in 10 to 15 years. I mean, usually those animals don't live that long anyway. So same for the life expectancy of a valve in a human being from an animal is about that. And just to let you know, obviously with any foreign object going into your heart, like I had done, you know, there could be complications. I don't know if you remember Bill Paxton, the actor Bill Paxton.
Right.
From Tornado or whatever. He died from the exact same surgery that I had. He had a mitral valve replacement and he died from the surgery. So, you know, and he was 56, I think, 55. Not that old. So
did they like crack your rib cage open to do the surgery?
Oh, yeah. I have the 9-inch scar. I have the two GI tubes, the gastrointestinal tubes in my stomach.
So for people who don't know, when you have open heart surgery done, it is fucking awful recovery because not only are you having a surgery where they're cutting you open, but they split your rib cage open. So where your breastbone is,
your sternum and all that,
you know, they split that open. They spread your ribs apart and that's how they do it. And then when they're done, they have to wire your rib cage back together. So just the healing alone from that is terrible. If anybody's ever had like a fractured rib, that is like the worst pain ever. And they cannot do shit for you.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Except pain medication. But it really doesn't help because bone pain is the worst pain in the world that you'll ever experience. It's terrible.
That's true. That is true. So I ended up getting a mechanical valve. My valve was donated by St. Jude's Hospital. So basically, I would assume, and this might be a funny comparison, it would have been like, say, if a mechanic came to the hospital and they had like a long, not a briefcase, but you know, like a case full of different size valves, because they obviously don't know what size mine's going to be. Mine was 33 millimeters across. It was huge. It was big.
Right.
It's all titanium. Amen. There's a guy that I know in Canada who, under his socialistic medicine, he got the same surgery, but he got a plastic valve. And I was like, I would not want a plastic.
Plastic?
That's what.
Oh my God. No, plastic is awful.
That's what Canada gave him. And he was really, I remember he got pissed at me when we were doing the interview because he left New York. He was born in New York and this guy went to Canada because of the socialized medicine. But basically there's free healthcare there and there's healthcare that you pay for. But I was like, dude, mine's titanium. I'm like, not to be a dick, but like, I'd be pissed off if they put plastic in my heart for Christ's sake.
Right. Because, and think about what happens to plastic over years.
Well, it could crack. It could degrade.
Right. And it dries out and basically it disintegrates. It breaks down.
So
titanium isn't going to.
Right. And so anyway, I have a card from St. Jude's that says the serial number, like everything on that valve. You know, the implanting surgeon's name and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, as I was saying, like I said, I had Medi-Cal. I understand that Medi-Cal in California has a $3 million cap on it. I'm not sure if that's true. I've probably used 2 million of mine, but the pills that I take, since I have the artificial valve, I take warfarin, which is blood thinners because it's a.
Right.
I take lisinopril, I take metoprolol, and I take simvastatin. And the simvastatin is just a precautionary for like...
Right, because you have to keep your veins open.
Right. I have good veins. I have wide open veins. All my other three valves were really good. And they were just like, everything's going to be fine once we get this in there. But yeah, also to add to what you said of what they do to you. So they get a saw and they cut your sternum, first of all, after they make that initial cut. Luckily, and you're going to laugh, the guy that made my cut, it's very straight. It's right down the middle of my chest because I think I have OCD. If it would have been off to one side, I would have been having a really tough time with that for a while. Got my priorities straight there, don't I?
Damn it.
It's like, you fuck ass, you made me look like shit. Do it again. He's like,
can you cut me a second time?
Yeah.
Oh. Straighten that up a little bit. No, thank you.
You know,
once is good.
No, I mean, I don't know. I may have sent you pictures, but I gladly could share some pictures if you want to see some. Like the day after it happened, I mean, dude, I looked pretty bad. You know, I looked really bad.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, for anybody out there, the intubation tube, getting that removed
is awful.
That's a nightmare, dude. That I would wish that shit on anyone.
Right. I know. That's absolutely miserable when that kind of stuff happens.
Oh, God.
But you and I have some things in common because I'm also a card-carrying member and I also have titanium.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So, you know, you and I have a lot in common in that aspect, but our reasons are completely different.
Well, you know, and I got to mention too, so my daily, or my regimen for me, I wake up every day. First thing I do, I take my pills. I have them all, you know, sorted out. I have one of the old folk pill things now, so whatever. But I take a blood test. Since the only requirement is with my insurance, with Medi-Cal out here in California, I have to take a blood test once a month forever.
Right, because you're on the blood thinner.
Right, and so I always have to check my INR level, your international ratio.
Right.
And I have like a one-point leeway, and I know all about this. I have to. What's funny, you'd figure with everything I've been through that I'd have to eat healthy, but I have to avoid high in vitamin K. I avoid mayonnaise. I avoid spinach salad. I avoid stuff that's basically good for you, Brussels sprouts. I can eat those things, but if I...
Oh, no. Hell no. Not on the... Do you like Brussels sprouts?
I love them, but here's what they told me.
What the hell is wrong with you?
If I eat them...
Brussels sprouts are the worst vegetable in the world.
Oh, no. I can't... I don't eat them anymore, but I'm saying when I was younger, I would eat them before this, but they said, like, say if I had kale salad, which kale's a big no-no for me.
Right.
I'd have to eat the exact same amount, the same time of day, the same day of the week. I'd have to micromanage so much, so I just pretty much avoid all that. But, dude, living in Southern California to, say, avoid mayonnaise is like saying to avoid the plague. You know? I
mean, right.
It's everywhere, like, right?
See, and that's the thing. You and I have that in common, too.
Okay.
Which, you know, the Brussels sprouts, forget it.
I used to love them. I used to love them.
Oh, God, no.
I put a little butter on them, and they were good, but I can't eat those bastards anymore.
If you cook Brussels sprouts, it literally stinks up your entire house.
I used to love them, though.
And it's like the curtains and everything smell like Brussels sprouts. No, thank you.
It smells like Brussels sprout ass, but that's why you put butter and salt on it. And then you got a salty ass.
Mm-mm. There's not enough stuff in the world to make those taste good. So tell me,
yes,
like, so overall on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your rating or experience with the medical field?
For
10 being the best.
10 being the best. Okay. I would say for everything I went through, I was in ICU for literally I was in the hospital 23 days. My experience with my Medi-Cal and all that, I had to pay for absolutely nothing. To this day, 4.5 years later,
you're very lucky.
I pay zero, nothing for blood tests, nothing for medication. I have no job. I have no income. I mean, dude, my girlfriend pretty much pays most of the bills within reason. But no, as far as for me, it was really good. You know, I've had the people, and it's funny to say this, and I will say it, they're like, oh, well, you're always saying you're against socialism. What you had was socialized medicine. And I say this, I've paid into this system since I was 15 years old, and I've never had to use it at all. And if I have to use something to save my life, common sense will dictate to me that, yes, I want to live, and I want to live for my child. So, yeah, I'm going to take the fucking insurance.
Right. And see, the thing is, I don't ever use insurance either because I hate going to the doctor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My experience is the complete and total flip side of the coin.
Tell me, because I probably don't even know a lot of what you're going to say.
I'm a total one as far as the medical field goes.
And where, now, where were you at when this happened? Is that in where, what state?
I was still living in Indiana.
Oh, you're in Indiana. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Good enough.
Okay, so the first thing that happens, I start noticing all these lumps in my boobs. And I'm like, what in the hell? And so, you know, they're like, well, go get a mammogram. And so I did. And they're like, we got a problem. And so happened over long periods of time, but I literally had 8 tumors removed that were precancer. When they finally started doing biopsies of these tumors after, number 5, finally 6 through 8, they did biopsies on, and they're like, oh my God, they're hormonal in nature. I was on the highest dose of, hormones in birth control that you can take. So the surgeon told me, you know, you need to get off the birth control pill because we think this is what's causing these precancerous tumors. And they're like growing like wildfire. And I'm not talking there was only 8 removed. I'm talking I had 8 surgeries.
Oh, man.
So
damn.
I'm a lopsided beast because I have one boob that's like giant and the other boob is a hell of a lot smaller. Because for some reason, my right side is where everything happened except for one on the left. So they switched me. And they switched me to the injection, the hormone injection, which is called Depo-Provera. So I'm taking that, and all of a sudden, I'm getting ready for work one morning. I'm taking a shower, and I fall in the shower. My back just completely gives out.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, what in the hell? So, you know, I'm laying on the floor screaming in the shower. I'm like, oh, my God, somebody come help me. And, of course, it's only my daughter at the time. And she's like, what's the matter? And I'm like, I don't know. I can't move. So, anyway, we finally get an appointment with a neurologist or neurosurgeon. Sorry about that. Go to see the neurosurgeon. And the Depo-Provera specifically states in the warning label can cause bone loss. It ate the bone in my spine. So I had to have a spinal fusion done. Plates, rods. Then there was not enough bone to harvest, so they did a bone graft out of my hip.
Oh, man.
So they had to implant that, and to make that grow and regenerate, they had to put in a bone stimulator implant. So 6 months after I had the fusion done, I had to go back to have the stimulator implant taken out. And I was like, I'm telling you, the stimulator moved. And he's like, it's not possible. And I said, I'm telling you it did because I know my body and I know it moved. And he goes, we implanted it on the right side of your body. Again, the right side of my body. And I'm like, well, I'm telling you, it's on the left side of my spine now. So anyway, I come out of surgery. And after I wake up in recovery, he goes, I'll be damned if you weren't correct. He's like, that migrated to the left side of your spine. And he said, that's unheard of. Like, it's not, that is not normal. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm one of those unique people. So anyway, they removed the stimulator implant, but they left the wire pack. So now, like, if I, you know, bend too much, or which I can't, like the whole bottom of my spine, the lumbar part, it's all fused. So I can't bend real well anyway. But like, if I'm doing yard work or something like that, a lot of times those wires will move and they'll poke my spinal cord, or they'll poke other nerves. And so either like my hip will go numb, my feet will go numb, my toes do this weird thing where they're like pull up, like Almost like somebody's bending your toes backwards toward your foot.
You know what? That used to happen to a girl that I know, but it would only happen when I would have sex with her and she would wear pantyhose.
That's a whole nother show.
And I meant to ask you one other thing. Is the bone stimulator only for women?
Do you need a bone stimulator implant too?
Well, either that or a fresh shave. But anyway, go ahead.
Super trim that bush up. I just did some bush trimming as well. Anyway,
I have to say, man, we take some wrong turns, don't we? Back the truck up.
We do.
Back the truck up in the field and turn around. Burp.
Hey, that's a good thing, though. It means that we can discuss literally anything in the world.
No, when you were saying about when you had the hormonal things like in the breast, now is that something that's hereditary or is that something that just happens?
No, they told me that it was from the high dose of the birth control that I was on.
You know, when you were talking about that a while ago, I thought you said bird control and I was like, what the hell is she talking about? Is she out there messing around with finches or birds or something?
Well, I will tell you, I do have a hummingbird. I like to sit outside in the morning, and the hummingbird always comes and literally flutters in my face, like just to say hi every morning.
Do you ever think?
And Greg will tell you, I do talk to the birds and the deer and the turkeys and the lizards. I'm kind of a weirdo.
That's all right. I talk to animals, too. I talk to dogs, though.
Yeah, well.
I'm the dog whisperer.
There are some dogs out there. I mean, everybody's beautiful. No, I'm kidding.
Take that back.
I take it back.
So anyway, back to your story. So you've been deboned, reboned, fused, unfused,
yeah.
Cut up. You're a deplorable Frankenstein.
Right. So, you know, after I finally get all this back surgery crap and stuff taken care of, which is, oh my God, awful because I have a 9-inch scar over my spinal cord, spinal column.
Jeez.
So after I healed, which took a really long time, it is the worst pain, and I have a really high pain tolerance, but it was the worst pain in the entire world because you can't bend, you can't twist. So think about, like, this is gross, but think about when you poop.
Right.
How you kind of have to bend or twist your body a little bit to wipe. I couldn't. So I had to have somebody wipe me. I had to have somebody bathe me because I couldn't shower. I was on a walker. I could only stand up for literally like 2 minutes at a time.
Sure.
The pain was excruciating. However, here's the lovely kicker. I cannot take pain medication because pain medication makes me violently vomit. I don't know why, but I can't do it. So miserable as that may be, and it was a pain that was worse than labor for all the females out there that's ever had a child, I'm sure you can identify with labor pains. However, it was terrible. Can't take anything. Makes me sick. So anyway, that finally heals. And I was working for a doctor at a teaching hospital. We have that in common too.
Nice. Yeah.
And I told him, I'm like, something is definitely wrong with me. I'm like, I'm so winded. I'm so tired all the time. I'm like, I literally can walk 2 steps and I'm so short of breath and my chest hurts. And he's like, oh, you're depressed.
I was going to say, that sounds like symptoms of a prostitute, Janet.
Now, that's another show. So you know me. Am I a depressed person?
No, I don't think so. I would not pin you as that type.
Yeah, no. I have never been one to deal with depression. I'm like always happy. Nothing bothers me. Like whatever, roll off my back. So anyway, he's like, oh, you're depressed. And I'm like, I'm going to order some tests and you can sign it. And he's like, okay. And so, you know, you got to jump through hoops. So I did, you know, the basic steps first, which is like an echo and a 24-hour Holter monitor and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, they're like, something's really weird. So we're going to set you up for a stress cardiolite. And that's the thing where they inject me with this medication. I walk on a treadmill and the cardiologist is actually in the room with you watching. I failed within like a minute.
Wow.
And, you know, you have to get up to a target heart rate and stuff. I failed. And I was like sweating real bad and I'm like breathing heavy and my blood pressure was like stroke level. And he's like, we're going to need to do a cardiac catheterization on you. And cardiac catheterization is where they go up through your groin.
I had that done.
And they, yeah, it's great. They thread a scope up through your groin. They inject dye. They watch it live on a monitor as it spreads out into your heart. Exactly. And so I'm watching this and he goes, wow. And I'm like, wow, what? And he goes, I've read about this, but I've never seen it before.
He goes, you're deplorable.
I was like, there again, of course I'm unique. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And he's like, you actually have not just coronary arteries, but all the vasculature in my heart. So the arteries and the veins, abnormal. It's a genetic defect. Okay. I had never heard anybody in my family had this. So I'm like, okay, did the stork drop me off or what the hell happened with this whole thing?
The stork crashed into the hospital and dropped you, but go ahead.
Yeah. And so like, if you look at a heart, the veins and the arteries on your heart kind of look like fingers wrapping around your heart. They're very straight. Mine are not. Mine look like my hair. And for anybody that has not seen me in person, I have very naturally, very curly, kinky hair. I look like Fifi the Idiot Circus Poodle.
She looks like an American Girl doll.
Yeah, so every vein and every artery on my heart is very curly and kinky and whatever, and not like varicose veins where they're twisted or whatever. Mine are like curly pigtails.
Oh, I can attest, that's true.
Yeah.
You could have birds in your hair and you'd never know it.
I have wasps that land in my hair constantly. Because it's like a giant nest.
Did you ever have that problem in school? Seriously, did you ever have birds?
I did. I've always had that problem.
Really? I'm not joking. I've
always had that problem where there's always flies or wasps or bees or whatever. They're like, oh my God, let's go sit in her hair.
I think I saw a couple. Remember when those ninth graders went missing in your hair for like a week? Maybe
they may still be in there.
Maybe even eighth graders, I don't know.
Hey, we were the same age at the time, so I'm not a pedophile. Let me just clear that up.
I was going to say, I think one of those guys became a shelving unit for Wayfair.
You can buy him now for $13,000.
Hey, you got what I need. It's got a whole new meaning.
Along with the pillow that's his sister that's 10 or 12.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Oh, God.
We digress.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's like, I've never seen this. He's like, I've read about it, but I've never seen it. And it's hereditary. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, we're older. So back in the day, like, your family history is only as good as what they tell you because they didn't have all the tests and stuff they do now. And so I'm like, okay, well, I don't know anybody that has this, but whatever. That's great. And they're like, you could die at any time. Great. Hey. Wonderful. And they're like, don't eat spinach and don't eat blah, blah, and don't eat this and don't eat that and watch your salt and watch. Okay. And so then I got to thinking and I was like, you know what's really fucked up? You didn't know until I told you earlier today. Hold on, I got a burp. Okay. Sorry about that. Anyway, my sister and I were 2 years apart. And they gave my sister an Emetrix injection for migraines.
Oh, it's just for really bad headaches? Like, that's it?
Right, for massive migraines. So they gave her Emetrix for it. She took the injection at home. And earlier in the day, her and I had been shopping. My mom's birthday was in 2 days. And so I had picked her up. We went shopping. We had a great day, whatever. She goes home. She takes her migraine medication. I get a call a couple hours later that she's dead. The injection exploded her heart.
God, no.
Instantly. So the doctor's warning me. He's like, you know, talking about medical history and stuff. And I'm telling him about the tumors and whatnot. And he's like, oh, my God. You can't ever take hormones. Like, hormones are a bad idea, of course. Keep in mind, they already gave me massive tumors, and they ate my spine. Now he's telling me, if I take hormones, it can actually kill me. I'm like, oh, well, fantastic. So now, you know, I've already hit the menopause thing. Can't take hormones because of my heart, which is a good thing. But I'm dying because I literally can't take anything for it. And it's not, I don't get the mood swings. It's just the hot flashes, which are from hell. And I'm literally burning alive. Like someone set me on fire pretty much 99% of the time. Wow. So anyway, I kept having chest pain and stuff. After they found this out, they put me on heart medicine and whatnot. They changed it a couple of times. So they put me on one that made me projectile vomit.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm driving in the car and it was like, blah, all over the windshield. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can't take this. Can you put me on something else? And I'm like, still having chest pain and whatnot. And then they gave me a prescription for nitro. Nitro wasn't working. So they put me on a daily nitro. I started taking the daily nitro. 2 days later, I have no function in my legs, no function in my arms. I completely dropped to the floor like I had no arms or legs. Go to the hospital. Was in there for 5 days, waiting for this shit to get out of my system. And they're like, you know, that really screwed up your heart rhythm. And I'm like, great. So now I, not only do I have a heart anomaly, but I have an arrhythmia.
Jeez.
Isn't that fantastic?
Good Lord.
So they take me off the daily nitro and I'm like, oh, thank God. Like that's finally out of my heart. Or out of my system and whatever. I got the use of my arms and my legs back. But like everything they tried on me made it worse. You know, like, here, we're going to put you in this back brace after your back surgery. Wait a minute, you're not wearing it. No, because when I'm wearing it, like, I can't feel my toes. I can't feel my feet. Well, let's put you on this heart medicine, and I'm barfing on the windshield driving to work. And, you know, like, everything has been such a fucked up mess. I'm not a fan. And that is why, you know, anytime, you know, people are like, you know, is this medication good or what should I do? Me personally, if I can't solve it naturally, okay, and I have, like, massive arthritis. They put me on Celebrex, which is for arthritis and joint pain and, you know, whatever. That sent me into arrhythmia. And they're like, well, you'll have to take something else. And I'm like what? I'm like, the only thing I have is a prescription for ibuprofen. And they're like, oh my God, don't take that because of your heart.
Yeah, same with me. Exactly.
They're like, don't take migraine medications because it can kill you. Don't take hormones. Don't take ibuprofen. Don't take Celebrex or Vioxx or anything like that, because it sends you into arrhythmia. I'm like,
you're like, great. I just finished a bottle of all of those.
Ooh, cheers.
Hey, can I ask you a question about the nitro?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was the nitro supposed to make you go faster?
Ha ha ha. It didn't. It made me sick.
Oh, man.
Have you ever taken
no,
it?
No, I haven't actually. No, I haven't.
Oh, good for you.
I remember the band Nitro with Michael Angelo, but I mean, that's about as far as I go with that.
That probably would have been better.
Oh, much better.
Because Nitro gives you like the most massive headache. And I already have migraines. And migraines and heart go together. It puts you at a higher risk for stroke.
Sure.
So, for all the people wondering, yes, I drink. I don't drink all the time. However, I like beer.
You like to sleep.
Because it relaxes
me. Well, you don't drink all the time because you have to sleep at night. But go ahead.
Right. Which I can't sleep very good anyway.
Oh, God.
But, you know, I do smoke. And here's the thing. And I know this sounds dumb, but I want you to think about this. Think about, and people who have heard me before knows that I have talked about this before. Remember how many times they said, eggs are good, eggs are bad, eggs are good, eggs are bad. We don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're bad today. Maybe they're good today. Think about all the things that are attacked and who's attacking them. Okay. So I smoke. Who is it that pushes anti-smoking? Is it the right or the left?
Anti-smoking?
Yeah, like they don't want you to smoke. Smoking's terrible. Oh my God. We got to shut down the tobacco farms. We got to shut down blah, 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 blah.
Well, I'm more of a pot smoker myself. But
okay, so the left,
I'd imagine it would be.
Is who always says, smoking is terrible. You're going to die from it. Oh my God. It's awful, awful, awful. Now, if you've noticed, all of the movies also have a warning if they're smoking in the movie or in the show.
I haven't seen that. I haven't caught that.
Okay, so you can literally rape children, burn people, whatever, whatever, but we have to make sure we get that smoking warning on TV shows and movies.
Well, you don't want anybody to get hurt, right?
So here's my thing.
Wow.
Okay. I do what makes me feel better.
Amen. Me too.
Since I started smoking, when all of this happened, completely changed my life. I'm a completely born again person. I'm very much an empath. I feel everybody else's emotions and stuff. And so like a lot of times I have to step away from social media or whatnot because I feel like almost physically ill sometimes because I feel everybody's emotional stuff.
Yeah, it affects you personally. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially the people that I'm really close friends with, especially my friend Bob. I always know when something is wrong with him. He doesn't even have to tell me because I feel it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So for me, what works for me is I get a lot of sunlight. I do take vitamins, you know, as far as like vitamin C and stuff like that. I don't do anything for pain because I can't. So, stretching techniques, things like that. But I'm very much into the holistic thing now.
Nice, yeah.
Because I have such an adverse reaction to so many different medications and so many different things. Not everything works for everybody. So there's a lot of people that I always get questions from, like, what can I do? What kind of foods are good? Whatever. Research for yourself, you know, for whatever condition it is. And then it may take you some trial and error, but do what works for you.
Yep. You got to know your own
body.
And
I've talked about this before. This is really weird, but with the heart thing that I have, of course, you know, I have to take cholesterol medicine because if not, you know, my vessels can shut up and I can die. However, they're like, oh my God, it's so high. You're going to have to go see your cardiologist and have open heart surgery and everything's blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I started taking Metamucil and calcium plus D every day, and it literally dropped it 200 points.
Wow.
Not saying that's going to work for everybody. However, there's plenty of things out there for you to research. If you're not a fan of taking medication, which I am not, and I'm like, not going to do it. You know what I mean? I'm going to do things my way and naturally. And, you know, we don't go to eat very often. I always make all the stuff here. And so I know what I'm putting in it. There's a lot of different spices and things you can use.
That's right.
Which help.
I hear goat placenta has a nice after.
Yummy. I think I'll make some of that for dinner tonight. Just kidding. That's gross.
You're not kidding. Stop lying to everybody.
Stop it.
Stop bullying me.
Oh my gosh, stop picking on me.
You need a safe space.
I do. And a coloring book and a pacifier.
Oh, wait. I got to tell you something real quick. Last year at my kid's school, one of the elective classes, and I thought she was kidding, was called coloring. You basically got a friggin' coloring book. And for an hour or whatever, 45 minutes, the kids would sit there and color. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
Well, that's nice. I need a class like that. Why can't we have fun like that? That's not cool.
I don't know, man. I don't know. But it's amazing. It's amazing the things that they were offering last year. It's funny.
That's insane. Absolutely insane.
Coloring class.
So, you know, I just want to bring up something in case and people don't realize about the mask thing, and then I'm going to tell you a story. Okay. So, this is the second time in our history that they have mandated mask.
Right.
And the first time was back in 1918 during the Spanish flu. Oh my God, racist. Oh my God, must be Trump's fault. They call it Spanish. He must hate people from Spain. That's so racist. So anyway, in October of 1918, they did the mask mandate. The mask at the time were made out of gauze. Gauze is like putting a mask on that's made out of pantyhose. You know what I'm saying? Although I think pantyhose might be a little more effective. So not only are they not effective because of the material, but people were cutting holes in them because at the time, smoking was a big deal. Yeah. So people were cutting holes in them to smoke. So they mandated it in October. And then in November, it went away because they signed the Armistice Treaty, which meant that, you know, World War I was over.
Right.
So everybody was like, "Woo! It's only a month. Oh, that's great." Even though people were not protected anyway. And then in January, they tried to do it again and the people revolted. Now, here's a couple things. I am not a fan of masks. At all. People know that. I've said that multiple times. It's a sign of submission. It does not do a goddamn thing to protect you or to help you in any way. It lowers your immune system. Now, here's my story. As a nurse, a lot of times you will work at shitty facilities where they're like, you're so in need, even when you're sick. You have to be at work. So this particular year, I had pneumonia. Oh, man. Both lungs. I was so sick. I'd been sick for months. However, when I started at this place, I'm like, you may want to wait before you hire me because I have pneumonia and whatever, and I'm not over it yet. And they're like, oh my God, no, we need somebody right now. But you have to be on the floor taking care of patients. Mm. And of course, it was during flu season, which flu season typically runs from like October to February or March, depending on what strand of flu is coming that particular year. So anyway, I'm working with pneumonia and it's flu time and they're like, you got to get your flu shot. Now, when you're a nurse, you don't have a choice. You have to take a flu vaccine. They make you. It's mandatory. And I'm like, I can't because I have pneumonia. And they're like, no, you have to get one. And I'm like, no, I can't because I have pneumonia. I cannot get a flu vaccine while I'm sick. Read the material. That's like anti everything that, right. You know, taught, yeah. if you read. So anyway, they're like, well, you're going to have to wear a mask. So they made me wear a mask. And it wasn't an N95. It was one of those, you know, they call them surgical masks where it's just loop it over your ears and, you know, whatever. And it's got the little teeny wire that you bend over your nose and it's pleated. So anyway, I'm wearing the mask and I go into the lab to take a patient in there to get blood drawn. And I'm like, I passed out on the floor. And they're like, oh my God, what's going on?
Wow, you're really sick.
Yeah, my blood pressure was 240 over 122. My heart rate was 122. So anyway, they called the ambulance. The ambulance came and get me. I spent a really lengthy time in the hospital because what? When you have pneumonia, you can't breathe anyway. Your lungs hurt. You don't feel good. They didn't listen to me. They didn't care what I had to say. Like, I can't wear this. And they're like, you have to, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, because of the oxygen deprivation, it sent me into atrial fibrillation, which means that my heart did not know how to beat properly. And so the rhythm was very fucked up. Mm. Yeah. So mask, not a fan. Even for people, like people that are wearing them in their cars and then they crash their car because you're wearing a mask because it cuts down on your oxygen level. Don't do it. It's just a sinus emission. It means zero.
You know, I think I told you just something to mention. And with this, with like my health condition, I had one of those, telehealth calls maybe two or three weeks ago. And it was my, right. And I know I mentioned this to you before, but my main doctor, my primary doctor, it's like the office manager. I know this guy really well. His name's John. He called me and he goes, look, he goes, I was checking up to see how you're doing. He goes, I got to tell you, don't wear the mask. He goes, it's counter to everything that we're taught in medical school. It's absolutely right. Against
100%.
And he was actually laughing about it. And to be honest, I know this guy's more of a Democrat, but he was even laughing about this. And he goes, it's such a fraud. It's such a farce. Like they just said, I think we have out of 40 million people in California, we have 7,200 deaths. And that's like 0.017 tenths of a percent death rate. It's like you're right. Fucking up people's lives over that. It's stupid.
Right. And here's the thing. I noticed that, like, supposedly had this giant spike in Florida. And, oh, my God, it was because everybody was partying at the beach, blah, 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 blah. So Fauci's trying to blame everybody and whatnot. And then the state of Florida releases some new numbers. They did a deep dive and investigative, and they called every one of these facilities that submitted coronavirus testing. And they're like, it's weird because like all these places are saying they have like 100% positivity rate or 96% positivity rate or whatever. Okay, so we talked about this before, but the interesting thing is this journalist started researching into this, and she called every one of the facilities, and like the place that reported they had 96%, or according to the state, said this facility told them they had 96%. The actual facility showed 6%.
Oh my God.
The VA hospital there that was supposedly like 98%, it was like 2. So somebody's fudging the numbers.
Sure.
I've said it before. The tests are tainted. The numbers are fake. You got health experts coming out that are like, well, you know, you count them as a COVID death. Even if they drive their car off of a cliff and they died from injuries and that, but if they were found to have corona, we count it as a COVID death.
It's so stupid. And you know what's funny, and you know, tie in with our medical thing too. As you know, as well as I do, that the biggest cause of death is usually medical malpractice, right?
Right. Oh, hello. I've had a lot of that. I forgot they had also put me on this medication. It's called Neurontin, and it's for a lot of nerve pain and stuff. And so they thought with like, you know, since I can't take medication and whatnot, that might help with like the back pain from the nerves and all that stuff. It actually gave me seizures. So I fucking hate medication. Not a fan, just because mine has been so screwed up. But I want you to keep something in mind, okay? You know I mentioned eggs. Okay, so it's flu season coming up. Of course, it's going to be around the election time when we're going to have a massive, oh my God, it's a massive uptick in corona. And everybody's going to die from corona and the flu. It is the flu. Anyway.
Right.
So, flu vaccines, and I want you to keep this in mind while people are trying to push this on you. Currently, there are 9 different types of flu vaccinations. Only 1 out of the 9 is given to the military, and most of the military has to get this particular one, and it's a flu mist that you spray up your nose. Okay, but on the CDC website, you can actually find what's called a vaccine excipient summary. It has all of the vaccinations listed, when they got put on the market, and what the ingredients are. So I want to go over this briefly. And these are things that are not in everyone. Every one of the flu vaccinations has different ingredients. You're going to find steroids, antibiotics. Now, what the hell would you need to put steroids,
right,
or an antibiotic,
no vaccine, right,
in an injection for? There's detergent.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Interesting, huh? Different forms of chlorine.
Oh.
Okay, remember, oh my God, you can't drink bleach. Oh my God, blah, blah. They're injecting bleach almost. A very large majority of the vaccinations have some form of chlorine in them, okay? A lot of them are made in eggs, the protein from the egg white. So people with egg allergies, and most of the time if you say, does this contain egg, the person giving you the vaccine doesn't have a fucking clue. Inhale what's in the vaccine because they do not take the time to research. Every one of the manufacturers uses different ingredients. So that can be life-threatening.
Right. Well, yeah, like with your sister.
To somebody.
Yeah, like with your sister, right?
Right. So it's a protein that's found in eggs. So you're getting chicken parts. You're getting dog cells, usually from dog kidneys. You're getting fetal cells.
I've heard about that.
Human cells. Cells from cows. Okay, so isn't that great? There's different metals. There's bromide. There's barium.
I've heard of that.
Aluminum.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Viruses. Bacteria, okay, hence they're giving you a virus or bacteria while giving you an antibiotic, hoping you don't get sick. But think about how many people actually get sick from the flu vaccine, okay? There's ammonia.
Ooh, boy.
Isn't that good? Alcohol.
I wonder if all of those liquids in there are to bulk it up. You know what I mean? Is it to... You know what I'm saying? Is it to just give it, you know what I mean? But go ahead.
Here's the thing. Okay. With medical stuff, barium is especially concerning.
Is it that radioactive?
It is. They do what's called barium swallow test. Okay. If you're having trouble with like a massive reflux or something like that, they'll do what's called a barium swallow where you drink barium. Barium hardens like concrete. So not only is it radioactive and they could see, you know, while they're doing live radiographic pictures to watch this barium solution go down your throat, but afterwards they tell you to flush your body with tons and tons of water because it hardens. So they're putting things in these vaccinations that can harden in your veins. Think about all of the people who have blocked vessels, blocked arteries, have to take cholesterol medicine. There's lots of sugars in them. A lot of them have sucrose.
Ooh.
So think about all the diabetics. Alcohol. So think about what does alcoholism cause? Depression, anxiety.
A lot of things.
You know, so think about that. Plus, a lot of these have DNA.
Oh, God.
They're injecting you with DNA from other sources. It's not your DNA. It's something else's DNA. A lot of it comes from rats, mice, things like that. You can read these for yourselves. I'm not going to go through all the vaccines because that would be like a 12-hour show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd be proud of it.
This is just for the flu vaccinations. So if you think you want to get one, please think. Look for yourself, and if you're completely good with all that, by all means have at it, but baby, no. Yeah. That's why I'm really glad I don't do the nursing thing anymore, because I'm not going to take that ever again. When I start finding out and researching what was in all the stuff, I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, and it's a choice. I mean, it's like if you're educating yourself and you're taking something that could potentially cripple, kill, you know, blind, whatever you, it's like, weigh it out, you know, is it worth it?
Right. So, not a fan of meds, not a fan of vaccinations. And here's something else. We're going to close with this today, but this is highly important. You know how they're like, coming up with all these quote wink corona vaccines,
yeah,
right?
I know you're. Yeah.
Okay, so they want to test them on black populations first.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, God. Oh, man.
Okay, so here's the lovely thing, and everybody's going to love this. Okay, so they're going to test it's going to be the testing ground for what's called Trust Stamp. It's an implant vaccination record and financial payment system. They're going to implement them in Africa because they're going to go to remote, poor, low-income communities. Now, Bill Gates, my favorite, Gates of Hell, shady MFer, has partnered with the Gavi Foundation. It's G-A-V-I. Gavi gets funds from public and private donors and also through U.S. aid sometimes. They also partnered with MasterCard and Trust Stamp themselves. So the MasterCard Trust Stamp is actually doing this thing, which is going to give all these low-income poor people in these remote communities what's called a wellness pass. In this, it gives your not only your facial recognition, but also all of your biometric information. That means your weight, your height, your body mass index, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These implantable wellness, quote, passes that they're going to do, it's a mass tracking thing. It's called a COVID pass. So it's not only going to show your vaccination records, it's going to tell you if it's okay for you to eat out, if you're sick, if you need medical testing, if the police need to visit you for some reason. It kind of does away with, like if somebody's on house arrest and they have an ankle monitor, they can track you through this implantable device that they're going to use so that you don't even need to
do anything.
Check in with anybody or whatnot. They can monitor you through all of this. It's going to tell you when and if you can buy food or clothing or, you know, whatever. If you go to buy alcohol or cigarettes or something, something that they don't like, they can basically decline your payment for something because they can troll all of
it. You know what this sounds like? This sounds like the caste or the class system in China, because they do the same thing. Like,
right.
if you're really wealthy, you can travel anywhere, but if you're poor, you got to stay at home.
That's exactly what it is. And so this lovely, lovely thing, the main donors of Gavi are the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation and Hillary Clinton.
You know what's funny? It's always the same people. In one capacity or other, it's either the same three or four or five people or people that they know. So it's essentially the same people anyway, you know.
Okay, so Gavi is the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunizations. So think again about the World Health Organization and how much they love Bill Gates. Right. Okay, Bill Gates is the same jackass that was kicked out of places in Africa before because he killed a bunch of people with his vaccinations and he sterilized a shit ton of people with his vaccinations.
It was also in India, too, I heard. In India, if you could look up videos, there's a lady who goes off about it.
Right. There's multiple places around the world. So get this. In Ghana, what they want to do is also include voting.
Oh, dear God. Data. Oh, so it's like a universal
electorate into this implantable device.
Oh, my God.
Where they can also see who you voted for.
Right, political class, political affiliation, donations, all that, right. Wow.
Now, notice that I said one of the foundations that also partners with them is the Clinton Foundation.
Right.
Okay, do you remember what her code name was?
Oh, I just read this.
It's a kind... It's the kind of tree.
Like a greenwood, a green, what is it?
You're close. It's got green in it.
Yeah, I just...
Boop, boop, boop. Exactly. Evergreen. Evergreen,
there you go. I just read this yesterday. I did.
So get this. God. The code name for this technology is called Evergreen Hash.
Oh!
Weird, huh? Wild. It gets better.
Go ahead.
It gets better. So... this is their goal for a cashless society for policing. So you don't need police anymore because they can control all of your behavior and watch your every move through this implantable device. No needs for felons to be on parole or anything anymore because
they're monitoring you all the time.
The vaccines, the voting, your facial stuff. They also can control what food you get, what health care you receive, etc., etc.
Yeah, it's basically
etc.
Every part of your life is being controlled and monitored, like absolutely.
Right. Now, I talked about this on a previous show where Bill Gates has wanted to do this. It's called a quantum dot. Basically, this implantable device under the skin, which, you know, we also call the mark of the beast.
Right. It's Revelations. Yeah.
Right. He wants to do this using what is called luciferase.
It sounds nice.
I know, right? So you got, you know, the gates of hell using luciferase. And the Clinton Foundation with Evergreen Hash technology, which is basically just advanced AI stuff. But this luciferase, I find it odd that they picked that particular thing to use. Yeah. It glows under the skin, so they will have to have a scanner to actually see it.
I don't like the idea of being a product and being scanned like an SKU, you know what I mean?
And you know, the funny thing is that I talked about this quite a long time ago because this came up years ago. Years ago in Switzerland, when they were having their World Economic Forum meeting, etc., etc.
The G7 summit, one of those summits. Yeah,
where they talked about, you know, microchipping everybody and whatnot. And this, your shit automatically updates. Right. So anything that you do after this is implanted, it continually feeds this AI technology computerized tracking module. So if you gain any weight, you know, you get charged for something, you hey, your blood sugar's too high, whatever, whatever. Now, you may think that sounds great. However, I don't want that shit anywhere near me. Nowhere near me.
You know what's something that I wanted to throw in real quick? If you think about it, human beings, we are the perfect conductor of electricity because you're 70% water. Water, right? So go ahead. Yeah.
Right. And you're exactly right. And, you know, when frequencies travel through water, it makes it speed up. It vibrates faster.
Right, vibrations are quicker, yes.
So when you get this lovely tracking device implanted under your skin, and they said it's going to be voluntary at first.
It always is.
And then it's not.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So they're pushing for this to be mandatory. Now, I just want to ask. This is like... they're going into the absolutely poorest areas in Africa.
They're the easiest people to control, but yeah.
They're guinea pigging, test subjecting, basically lab ratting
African American.
The black population in Africa to see what happens.
Well, you know what? You can thank Hillary Clinton and her love of Margaret Sanger for that. Remember what they said about Margaret Sanger?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I learned all about her in school, and she's a piece of shit. So,
wow.
The thing is, I don't have a racist bone in my body. I don't want them fucking doing this to anybody. I don't care who you are. I don't even care if you committed 47 murders. I would not wish this on you or, you know, anyone. Because think of the risk involved. Anytime you put something foreign in, there's a risk of rejection.
Exactly.
Plus, you've got radio frequency waves constantly in your body now.
Yeah, it's going to affect you at some point. It really will.
If they can get all of your information without you turning a single thing in,
they can.
Think about how they're going to be able to control you.
No, they can. You know, it's funny. I've noticed, I'll tell you something real quick on this little meeting I had with my kids' guidance counselor this morning about going to high schools. We briefly talked about 5G, and she goes, oh, just out of the blue, she goes, oh, I got this new 5G phone. She goes, have you heard this conspiracy about 5G? And I said, it's no conspiracy. I said, 5G is something that's used by our military to calm down large crowds, to bring people to their knees. They turn on a high-frequency signal, so like a dog hearing a high-pitched sound. That shit will make you literally crap your pants. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's for real.
So think about that.
Right.
Involved with this new technology that they're pushing to come to the United States. Same thing with the goddamn vaccines that he's trying to develop.
Right. And you know, it's funny, last year when my kid, I overheard this one Hispanic lady getting her kid into the school, and it was the beginning of the school year, and they specifically said, you know, like what you were saying about vaccines, and the schools out here, if you don't have that record, you cannot go to the schools. They won't let you in.
Right.
And this, they told the lady, they said, he needs to get his stuff up to date or he can't go here. And I'm just like, dude, again, this stuff is going to get, it's like I can feel the hands tightening around my neck. You know what I mean? As all of the stuff's starting to get worse and worse and worse.
And here's the thing is that New York was the first place, and this is recently, that said there is no longer an opt-out for vaccinations, because there always was, you know, for religious reasons or whatnot.
Right.
You can no, according to Cuomo, you can no longer do that.
I know a lot of New Yorkers out here. I have a lot of Jewish New York friends who left New York, and all of them say the same thing. Screw de Blasio. They want Giuliani. They go, look, Giuliani wasn't perfect compared to this fucking nightmare.
He was.
Dude, compared to this guy they got now, are you shitting me? He's out there sitting there repainting over the Black Lives Matter in the street. And I'm like, dude, you have fucking people dying every day and you're out here painting shit? You fuck ass.
Right, and not only that, but back on the Corona stuff, where he's painting this Black Lives Matter shit, and then he does a press conference later the same day, and he's like, so, like, you can't have public gatherings, and we're going to ban that.
Right, but we can have these fuckheads out here.
Whatever, but it's okay to protest, because protesting is really important for change. Social justice warriors. Give me a fucking break. Now, wake the fuck up, America, because the coronavirus does not skip protesters and only jump into Trump supporters.
Right. That's what they...
Horse fucking shit. Stop buying the crap they're pushing, because it's all lies. It's all bullshit. 100% of patients are not coming back positive. The deaths are not that high. The Spanish flu had over 5 million deaths. We have like 640,000 worldwide.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny how they sensationalize this, because every time I see it, and I kept thinking, again, like when you were telling me about, excuse me, how the tests were rigged to a point of like where how the antibodies, and I just read another article the other day about antibodies being skewed, and they put that in and they go, oh, look, see, you've got it. It's like, no, you don't. Quit lying to everybody.
Right. And that's the thing, you know, they're, and like I talked about before, the assumptive diagnoses, they would assume that I had it without even testing me. Because I have constant sinus problems. I always have had ever since sinus surgery. It screwed me up even worse. I constantly cough. I'm constantly stuffy, you know, whatever. And they'd be like, oh my God, coronavirus, you're positive. Even though they didn't test me.
You know what? There was a girl that I used to go to school with at South. I never told you this. She had really bad sinus problems, but dude, lucky for me, she could breathe out of her ears.
What? No. Let me think of who that might have been.
All I can say was she had low morals and no curfew.
That's a whole nother story about a ding dong.
Oh man. Oh God, I don't know if I'm so delirious from lack of sleep. I thought the Care Bears were coming for a minute.
That would be like my worst nightmare because they're very scary.
No shit, those little bastards turn rabid on you and it's like a fucking psycho Chucky coming on you. Good God, man.
That new Chucky movie is insane.
No, you just love how they Hollywood's so lame. I lived in Hollywood for 12 years before I lived in East LA. And I swear to God, dude, there's not an original thought inside of anyone's head over there anymore.
We were just talking about that. Like, they have to keep remaking old movies or old shows or, you know, whatever. Oh, my God. And even, like, The Simpsons come out with this thing because of all the social justice warriors that, you know, well, they're not going to cast, like white people to play the Indian guy at the grocery store or whatever.
Yeah, Hank Azaria, because I told you I used to work on not the TV show, but I worked on their first video game. And I mean, that was always a beautiful thing. Hello, my friend. You know, you had all these different, or Mr. Burns. Oh, Smithers. Where are you, Smithers? You know, you had all these great voices and stuff. But it's just like, so.
You sound exactly like Mr. Burns. I'm going to have nightmares now.
It's just funny to me, though, that it's like anything else. It took you 30 years to get offended. You know what I mean?
I know. And that's the thing. And it's like, all this shit has been around for a really long time. And was everybody offended when Obama was president? Were these statues racist then? Did, you know, was all the social justice warriors up in arms about the Spanish flu or the Congo flu or the West Nile virus
or the
Zika all that shit? That's what they do. They name crap from the territory that it came from.
Right, the MERS.
So all these fuckers that are like, oh my God, it's racist to call it the China virus. It fucking came from goddamn China. It came from Wuhan. So that's what they name it because that's what they've done ever since the inception of the people who named it.
You know what's funny? I think that, and most probably conservatives, and I mean, I can't speak for the other side, but I've never really known anyone on the right side who was blaming the Chinese people. They were blaming the communist Chinese government, and there's an obvious huge distinction there between the two.
Right. And that's the thing, because like, the Congo virus and stuff, they didn't like demonize anybody that lives along the Congo River or the West Nile River or any of the other horseshit that's come through here. But let me just say, take this for what it is, okay? Fear mongering is a necessity to be able to tear down not only our institutions, our families, our churches, the way of life.
The whole way of life, exactly, right.
Without the fear porn, they wouldn't get anywhere. Because remember when the West Nile virus came through?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was going to get infected and die from mosquito bites.
I do remember.
And then it was the Zika virus came through from the mosquitoes. And oh, my God, all these pregnant women, they're going to have aborted fetuses, spontaneous abortion, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be awful. The swine flu, like everybody's going to die from the swine flu. It's always fucking something.
You know what was weird with the swine?
Do not give up your rights because it's horse shit. I can tell you it's horse shit. I've been in the medical industry. I've been a teacher. I taught this crap. I lived this crap. I was around during SARS and MERS, which is the worst of the worst of corona.
Right. Yeah,
viruses.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still here. I didn't die. I didn't get infected. It's shit. It's total shit.
Fear is the ultimate. Fear is the ultimate manipulator. I mean, think about it. They've always said that. And it's like you're going to really find out what you're made from and your friends and family and whoever you talk to just by how they react to this. Because when I see people out here, I'm like, I understand that, you know, there's – I'm not saying this thing wasn't real like most people. It's like you said, I think that it's just been so exaggerated to the point of ridiculousness. Dude, yesterday alone they came out and said we have a 0.017%, like – less than 1% chance of you getting anything in California. But yet there's all of a sudden this big uptake of, I mean, yeah, we're having funerals out here down the street all the time. I mean, the bodies are piled up. They had to call me the other day, Janet, and ask if they could store the corpses in my fucking garage. Cause you know, there's so many of them out here. I mean, it's just like, if you believe that, I've got some property I'd like to sell you.
Exactly. In the middle of the ocean. It's really beautiful. Yeah. It's on an island that doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's called Brentwood, California. Sorry, OJ. Jeez.
So, any final thoughts for you today, my dear friend?
No, I'm glad we covered the stuff about, I mean, just like I said, I don't know if a lot of people out there knew, like, the heart issue I had. I mean, brush with death that I had a few years ago. You know, you've had a malady of health issues. You know, mine hit me at all at once. It seems like yours have hit you over the course of years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like one right after another.
Right. It's just like saying, hey, let's see what else you can take.
Hey, knock on wood, it stopped now. So there you go.
Yeah.
But just everybody take care of yourselves. Do what you need to do. Do what makes you happy. You never know how long you're going
to
be here.
If you have to go out and get that fifth or eighth of moonshine or whatever amount you'd like, I say go ahead and do it.
Exactly. Do what makes you happy in life within reason. Now, if you're a murderer, don't do that. Don't take that advice if you enjoy shit like that. We're just saying, if you like to drink, if you like to smoke, if you like to smoke dope, whatever.
As long as you're not hurting yourself or someone else, that's always my rule. As long as you're not out hurting other people and you're not slowly killing yourself, I mean, dude, enjoy life because, I mean, I'll be 49 this year. I'll be 50 years old next year. And it's like, dude, like like I said before, dude, every day really is a blessing and it's an opportunity to just have a good time and enjoy and enjoy your life because it is, it's fast.
So if you like tacos, go eat some tacos.
Actually, yeah, we're going to go do that. We're going to go to Del Taco. I got to go get my kid right now. We're going to go have some lunch.
Oh.
I like it.
All right, darling. Well, for Matt.
Yes.
And for myself, thank you for tuning in. Please download, like, subscribe, give a listen, share. On Anchor, we do have a donation site set up. If you so choose to donate, you don't have to. We do this out of the kindness and the goodness of our hearts because we're pretty fucking awesome. So, for Matt and I, we will see you again next Tuesday.
Thank you much, everybody. We'll see you all soon.
Have a good day.
Cheers, everybody.